Krista, you're heading up the Nova Scotia Health Research Foundation. What is the foundation?
So we're a rather complex organization. We have the traditional kind of mandate that provincial research organizations would have to fund generational research, which would be, you know, curiosity-driven research by scientists. We also have, beyond that, quite an extensive mandate. So we are a capacity-building organization in that we are mandated to ensure that Nova Scotia builds and sustains a very vibrant, creative research enterprise here. So that involves everything from supporting students, recruiting new people to the region. We support the universities through their various programs. We would provide resources, funding, and expertise to develop skills. We give advice on career building for people entering into research. We also provide catalytic funds for new and innovative creative ideas that might not get funded elsewhere. We have an entrepreneurial arm where we provide services to the health system primarily, but also broader than that. So we have a couple of programs called under the acronym REAL. And REAL stands for Relevant, Excellent, Accessible, and Legitimate. And the first REAL program I'll talk about is REAL Evaluation. And evaluation is another type of information for informed decision making. And really, when you think about research, it's all about generating knowledge to do something with it. So that's about informed decision making. You use knowledge to make better decisions. And so the REAL Evaluation program provides evaluation expertise and services to people in the health system, to government departments, the Department of Health and Wellness, Labor and Advanced Education, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't just provide service, we also educate and build capacity so that whenever we're brought in to do evaluation work, we leave people with more knowledge than when we came. So they don't just have a product, they actually have skill development as well. So that's one of the REAL programs. The other REAL program is called REAL Knowledge. And that's a program where we actually mobilize existing research results and create them into something very usable, accessible and usable, if you go back to my acronym, for use in informed decision making. And we do that in many, many ways for many, many people. Everything from access to expert opinion right up to generating new knowledge, really, if there's no existing research. So quite an extensive mandate. Other things we do from an entrepreneurial perspective is there are some things that this organization has generated its own expertise in, and one is governance. So right now we're providing governance support for other government agencies that are being established in the province, and so providing training, sharing our expertise, mentoring for those new organizations. We provide consulting services on a variety of things where we've generated our own expertise. So we're a rather interesting organization. We're a registered charity, we're a research enterprise agency in the traditional sense, we're a knowledge broker, and we're also entrepreneurial.
Well, it's a very busy day around your office here today to understand that this is peer review day. What's that?
So this is part of the more traditional type of role that a research foundation would fulfill. However, we're anything but traditional in that NSHRF is known for its creativity and its innovation, and peer review is one of the areas we're innovative in. So essentially, this is one of the mechanisms or a key mechanism that we would use to determine what research projects should be funded in our annual competition. So right now we're having a competition around research and policy, health services, and health outcomes. So these would be scientists from across the country. We actually have some international folks. We have local people. So our peer review involves a couple of different aspects. One, we would have expertise. So these scientists from across the country and in Nova Scotia have a high level of expertise in their particular area so that they can evaluate these proposals and determine whether or not they're meritorious enough to be funded. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we also engage local, more junior scientists to build capacity and skills. So they are part of the mix, so they can learn from these fabulous experts that come from across the country to work in our peer review. Another aspect is our observer program. And this is where we invite anybody who would like to come in and observe this process so that we take the mystery out of how science is debated, discussed, and how we determine what is funded. So it's not just educational, it's a communication vehicle, and it is also, I think, very instructional for people. So we have students, junior scientists, we've had reporters, we've had government officials, we've had people from the general public who would like to know just how are these decisions made and, you know, what all goes into it. So this observer program is incredibly popular. It's something we've done for quite some time now. So incredibly important. So it's got a number of different aspects there. One of the things we're known for with peer review is we give back more feedback than any other agency that we know of in the world. And that's really important. When I first started designing a peer review process for NSHRF, people would tell me that when they were funded nationally, for example, they would never know why they were successful or why they were unsuccessful. And I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. So we want people to be able to replicate their success and build on it. We also want them to be able to look at the unsuccessful grants and figure out where the weaknesses are and address them. And indeed, we've had many people who have been unsuccessful at NSHRF take the feedback from these fabulous experts, address it, turn it around, and get fully funded nationally in just, you know, 6 months later. And we have a long track record of that sort of thing. So that's part of the capacity building of the peer review. So it's a pretty exciting process we have. And indeed, this year, we've just got contracts from some external agencies to do peer review for them on the national level. We've been doing peer review for local groups for quite some time, but I think our reputation is getting around, and I'm quite proud of our team here.
Well, once you peer review them, of course, then there has to be some research. Give me a couple of examples of areas of research you've supported that have, I guess, made an impact in the community here in Nova Scotia.
One of the things to know about NSHRF is our competition is for people brand new in their careers. So the impact tends to be more in their career than necessarily in Nova Scotia. So some of the more impactful projects that we would fund are things that we would partner on with maybe the Canadian Institutes of Health Research or the synthesis kind of work, the Real Knowledge Program kind of work. But although I say that, but we've certainly had some rising stars and had some great impact. One of the folks I'd like to talk about that we funded extensively is Dr. Christine Chambers. And we funded her in a variety of projects. We've partnered with her on a variety of projects. And she has a program called It Doesn't Have to Hurt. And it's about reducing pain in children. And one of the things that I found so amazing with Christine's work is that there was a perception that children don't feel pain or don't feel pain as much as adults, which I find astounding. So she's done a great deal of work in this to shine a light on the situation and also look at how to mitigate and minimize the pain that kids feel. And she's developed two YouTube videos. They're relatively short, and NSHRF provided the funding for them. And these have been instructional for parents. They've been used around the world, I believe Australia, many other countries. So her reach has been extensive, and it's pretty exciting to think that little old NSHRF was part of what is becoming a world movement on pediatric pain. So phenomenal success. She's also done a great deal of work on social media. So she's very active in Twitter, and we've engaged in helping spread the message through our Twitter feed as well. And it's been really interesting to watch. She works with Dr. Marshall Campbell Yao as well, and she's also provided videos, again, on the same topic, and this is about what parents can do to help newborns, and again, are all around procedures that cause pain. So that's incredibly exciting, and it just kind of warms your heart to think that, you know, we've been able to have impact through her work in this extensive way. It's just phenomenal.
What else have you got on the go there?
So another project that we funded is called Ignite, and this is with Dr. Chris McMaster. And his work is focusing on people with orphan diseases. And orphan diseases are those diseases that are very, very rare. So, you know, don't tend to get the attention that diseases that are more common would have. And he's developed drugs, old drugs with new uses. So it's particularly impactful in people who've had these rare diseases and don't have any opportunity for assistance in that, you know, because the research hasn't been done. So they'll discover that there's been no treatment. So Chris's work actually changes that and turns that around. So it's really, really phenomenal. And it's what we call discovery work. So he's done some work on discovering the genes that are responsible for certain orphan diseases, and incredibly important. And then, of course, that cascades into how do you treat these diseases. So making a significant difference in people's lives.
While I've been here in Halifax, one of the health stories that's been in the news has centered around mental health and a lack of services for teenagers. And we have the same problem in Alberta. What do you see as being shared problems where your organization and other health organizations across the country can work together?
So a few years ago, I think it might be going on three perhaps by this point in time, the Nova Scotia Health Research Foundation provided the evidentiary support for the development of a mental health and addictions strategy here in Nova Scotia. And that was really, really important work. And it highlighted the challenges that the system faces in trying to provide services for people with mental illness, and also highlighted gaps in services and a lot of insight into what kind of research questions one would need to generate for application in better systems, how you would evaluate those, and also generalized treatment and approaches and so on. So from the research perspective, there are many multi-jurisdictional projects in play looking at comparing one approach to another and trying to figure out what type of constellation of services and what structure would best suit needs. There's a fair bit of work around interventions, you know, what type of interventions at the individual level are appropriate. So the research that we would support for mental health would span from how do you deliver service? Where do you deliver service to? What kind of service? Also, we would fund, you know, things when medication is appropriate and those sorts of things. And there's a fair bit of cooperation nationally amongst the research world. From the system perspective, of course, that's not something we would look at other than from the research view of it. But I do know that there's a fair bit of attention nationally, that the provinces who have strategies are very much in communication with one another. And I know that there's a fair bit of evaluation work going on as well. So all of that is with a view to the kind of story you're talking about just not happening. So hopefully we'll get there.
What do you see as health issues on the horizon that you feel your agency could or should be attacking?
We base our definition of health on the social determinants of health here in Nova Scotia. So that's pretty extensive. And there are many, many challenges within that. There are many social determinants of health. One of the areas that we know are very important and are included in our priorities are system. And you know there's a fair bit of system change across the country with the amalgamations from many health authorities to one, those sorts of things. So we're looking at health policy and health services research very specifically to ensure that we do work on that. We're also creating different processes to approach innovation. So we know that the costs of healthcare in this country are getting very close to exceeding the ability for sustainability for the provinces, right? When provinces start talking about getting close to 50% of their provincial budget, we all know that that is just not a sustainable figure. So we're looking at what works, what doesn't. You know, how do we do things differently? How do we not be shackled by we've always done it that way, and opening up creativity so that we can do things differently, more effectively? If we keep people better longer, will that make a difference? And a lot of things around that. So innovation in what we do, how we do it, what technology we use, all of those things. So these are areas that NSHRF certainly is going to be engaged in and supporting. And then there are, of course, a lot of health issues that people face. Chronic disease is a massive one. And there are many chronic diseases, so I won't get into that specifically, but certainly chronic conditions, multimorbidity, people facing many issues, and care of the elderly. Is huge. Actually, NSHRF just finished providing the evidentiary base for the development of a dementia strategy in Nova Scotia. And again, very, very important work. The strategy hopefully will be released, I think, relatively soon, within a month or so. Again, that was a very important piece of the work that we're doing. So there's many, many issues. I think we're going to be busy.
How did you get into this field and what keeps you here?
So, interesting little career story. I started out as a physiotherapist, and I developed my expertise in geriatrics. So I became very, very interested in some of the things I just talked about, multimorbidity, chronic conditions, dementia, diseases that impact our elderly population. And from that, I realized that many of the issues that these individuals face were generated by the system. So I decided to go back to school and educate myself to have a more of a leadership role in the system. So I did that. And then as life presents, I didn't actually go into a leadership role dealing with long-term care, but I did end up in roles in government and workers' compensation, and various roles like that, all related to health in some way, and became very, very interested in why people were not informing themselves with evidence when they make decisions. It just seemed to be second nature to me to want to be informed, or as best informed as I can. And I would be amazed, and I'd sit around a policy table, and there would be no research discussed. And individuals would be presenting a position, and I'd ask if there was evidence to support that position, and they would look at me like I had three heads or something. So that's how I got into this particular job. Is it's all about the mobilization of knowledge. And so NSHRF really is about informed decision making. When you, all of the stuff I talked about at the beginning of this interview is all about making better decisions. Otherwise, why would you do it? And so that's why I'm here. It's about informed decision making. It's about providing the knowledge people need to make better decisions, whether it's about their own health, you know, whether I'm trying to decide whether or not to take an anti-inflammatory for my sore knee, or whether I'm trying to provide information to the Minister of Health on what the provincial dementia strategy should be. All about informed decision making, and it's all about generating knowledge.
That's an incredible message, and it certainly is having an impact across the country because people do hold you in high regard. I've heard you referred to as a crackerjack. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
It was my pleasure.